Praise God. We're glad to have everyone here, and we're glad to have everybody online, no matter where you are. We have a lot of people that join with us every Sunday all around the world, and you know, it's an awesome thing to be able to minister to all of you guys. Well, today we're going to have a special healing service, and I always like to kind of tell people, you know, how do you decide what to do and how to do things? Well, you know, I just pray and ask the Lord. No, actually, most of you probably that attend here probably do know that God has given me a special healing anointing. And, many times you've probably heard my grandfather, he talked about it. We obviously know that he was a healing minister, and he talked about that the Lord has given me three times the anointing he has given me three times that. You know, and I don't talk much more about that because I don't like to brag on myself, or because it's not about me, it's about God. It's about what God has done and what God is doing in our lives. Amen. Just to be honest, we have a monthly schedule, and it comes out, and you know, we look at that and find out when we're going to minister and kind of think about, you know, maybe what we're going to minister on, and begin to pray about it. And all of a sudden, it kind of popped up that we should do a healing service this Sunday morning, you know, because a lot of times we don't. But I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe that's just me. Because most of the time, if I go to minister in anyone else's church, I always preach on faith and healing, because that's what people know me for, and people come expecting to receive healing. And so, you know, sometimes I wonder, well, is this me, or is this God? What is it? And then all of a sudden, on May the 13th, which happens to be my mom's birthday, I got a message on Instant Messenger, which I don't check my Instant Messengers that many times, so don't be sending me a bunch of them. But I just happened to check it that day. The reason I don't check it, sometimes I like have like tons of them, and it takes me forever to get through all of them. And so, but I got a message for a gentleman who used to work here at the ministry. And interesting part about it is the last time he messaged me was 9 years earlier on the same day, May the 13th. And what he said was, as he was listening to one of my grandfather's CDs or MP3s on the healing anointing, and God spoke to him, and he felt that God wanted him to tell me, you know, not to neglect the healing gift that he has given me. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So now, you know, I'm trying to figure out if this is God, this is not God. This guy all of a sudden throws me we really haven't spoke probably in 9 years. I don't know if I've even talked to him actually physically, because doesn't live here in the Tulsa area anymore. And then, you know, so okay. 2 days later, I get a text message from somebody that urges me not to neglect the healing anointing. So I said, okay, God, I get it. Next time I minister, we're gonna have a healing service. So that's how it worked. Okay, some people, you know, you want to know. Now, I'm going to tell you how a lot of people get their messages. You know, they just go to the internet. But, you know, I'm not about the internet. I'm about meeting people's needs wherever they are. It's not what I feel like minister on. It's about what do you need? And obviously, we should always be preaching and speaking on faith anyway in any services. So we're going to actually start out today, Mark chapter 11. I know that's a shocker there. Mark chapter 11. I'm actually going to only look at 22 and 24. I'm going to skip 23 today. And I'm going to start out with the New Living Translation. Just because. I don't know. Anyway, Mark 11:22, and most of you know that if I sign your Bible or if I sign my book or whatever, I have two books. So the first one's, the newest one's titled Don't Be Stupid, you know, and that's a book everybody needs, because there's some person in your life you probably think is stupid or done stupid things or do a lot of stupid things, so that's a good one. And I've actually found out, somebody told me that that my book is very popular in the prison system. I know that makes too much sense, you know, but I'm actually not joking. I'm being serious. And so My other book is The Power of God, also translated in Spanish, Poder de Dios. If we have it in English and Spanish, because I speak Spanish so well, you know, I really only speak food Spanish, but that's okay. If I sign my book or the Bible, I always put the scripture here, Mark 11, 22, because it's basically my keynote scripture in life, and I think it's a scripture all of us should have in life. It says, then Jesus answered and says to his disciples, and notice anything that Jesus says is in red letters, and it says this, have faith in God. Now, I believe that those words, have faith in God, four words, I believe should be the center of our life. Have faith in God. It's not about having faith in your pastor, not about having faith in your husband or your wife or your friends. It's about putting our faith in God. Because, you know, and I always talk about this. We actually have a motto on our money, in God we trust. It's kind of the same thing. We have faith in God because God is the one that brings it to pass. Not me, not anybody else. It's God. So our faith always has to be in God. And I say this, and most people think, well, of course our faith is in God. Well, I don't know how many times that I have been in healing services, and it seems that their faith was more in that minister than it was into God. You know, and I know that we hear stories like the woman with the issue of blood and where she came in the press behind and touched his garment, but she touched the garment of Jesus Christ. Not the garment of brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or prophet so-and-so or non-prophet so-and-so or whatever it might be. You know, because, you know, we're a non-profit ministry. We're not a prophet. According to the United States government. Anyway, I know it's a joke, but I know I'm meddling here, but I really don't like it when people, like go on the social media and it says prophet so-and-so, you know, because my grandfather operated in that gift, but he never called himself a prophet. You know, and let other people say who you are, not yourself. I mean, notice I did not even change my Facebook to Dr. Craig W. Hagen because of... But someone did tell me, if you want to use that title, use it when you check into a hotel. Because especially now during the pandemic, people don't know what kind of doctor you might be. And says you get free upgrades. I'm telling you, if you just check into a hotel as a doctor... I guess they don't check degrees. I guess anybody could check in as doctor or whatever. Just tip, according to some minister friend I had. All right. But our faith should always be in God. We put our faith in God. Now, see, number one, put your faith in God. And whatever it might be. See, God will provide. Not some man, not some woman, you know, not some person. It's all about God. Number one, our faith has to be in God. And so many times that I have heard people, they get a hold of Mark 11, 23 and 24, and they're trying to say to their mountain and speak and all these kind of things, and they're never putting their faith in God. See, if your faith is not in God, then you're thinking that you have the power to move a mountain. No, you have the power to speak, and God moves your mountain. And see, that's good teaching. That's something we need to all understand, that our faith should always be in God. You know, and if you can't read your Bible, pull your money out and read it there on your dollar bill. In God we trust. See, it's in God that we put our trust, in God that we put our faith, in God that we put our hope. It's all about God. Now, I'm going to go down to Mark 11, 22. Mark 11, 22 says this. It says, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Now, I'm reading from the New Living Translation because normally I don't. But it says this, you know, once again, you can pray for anything. Well, what does that mean? What does anything mean? Anything means anything. It's really hard to describe anything. It means everything. that you desire. Now, there is one thing that you can't believe God for, and, you know, I like to share this. If the only thing you cannot believe God for is something against somebody else's will. And, you know, this is very important for those of you that are trying to look for a spouse, because if you would like to have this person as your spouse and they don't even want to talk to you, then, you know, for you to get your need met, they would have to not get their need met. So it's pretty understandable. So what you need to start doing is praying that God will change their heart. You know, or whatever. I'm just joking. Or maybe find somebody else. Especially when you ever, you know, after the third restraining order because you're stalking them, that might be a clue. You know, that maybe, you know, you should look for somebody else. But when somebody else's will is involved, you can't change their will. All right? Just like, you know, if I have a relative that needs to get saved, I can want them to get saved, but ultimately it's their choice. God gave them a choice. All right, now we can pray that laborers will come across their path. We can pray the Holy Spirit will speak to them in the night. We can pray all these kind of things, but ultimately they have to put their own choice, you know, there. And so you know, that's why that a lot of times people say, well, this doesn't work. Well, it's up to this individual person. You know, a lot of times when it comes to healing, I've actually done this. I've visited people in the hospital, especially someone who happens to be, you know, not too old, but you know, a little bit older in life, maybe in their 70s or 80s. And I've been in a hospital room, you know, and we've been praying and believing God for that they would get well. And then after their relatives are gone, they say, hey, Craig, you know what? I'm just ready to go home. I lived a good life, and I'm ready to quit fighting and to go home. Well, see, they're not even, I mean, their will is not where the will that their family is at. And so, you know, we need to hook up and be on the same page sometimes. But what do you believe? What is your anything? Because there has to be something that's your anything. Anyway, it says you can pray for anything, but if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Now, what does that mean? You believe that you've already received it by faith. See, a lot of people are waiting to receive it, then they'll believe it. Now, that's the Thomas kind of faith. Yeah. All right? You have to believe that you've received it when you pray, when you ask. When you ask for that anything, you believed immediately that you receive it by faith. It's just that simple. Now, you know, when it comes to healing, it's pretty easy because we have 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, we were healed. What do you mean were? That means you already have been healed. So all we have to do to receive our healing is to ask in faith. Now, see, the anything might be healing. You know, and it might be a financial situation, whatever your anything is. Now, we're going to go back and look at this old school wise. We're going to go back to the King James Version. Remember that? A long time ago, we used to read King James all the time. And I know you got tired of all the these and thous and therefores and, you know, but I learned this scripture in the King James. In fact, it's hard for me to quote it any other way. It's hard for me to quote hardly any scripture any other way because that's the way I learned it as a child. And I know the King James, you know, and I realize we don't teach, you know, we don't say ye's and thou's and, but anyway, verse 24, King James says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Now, I want to read from the King James because it uses the word desire. Desire. And when somebody desires something, it's like, man, they're going to do anything they can to get that. Now, I was youth minister for a number of years. And I tell you what, now some of you might know about shoes. Now, I know some of you ladies are talking about different kinds of shoes, though. You have to understand, in the athletic apparel arena, they have different shoes that drop all the time. All right? And you have these youth that really desire some of these shoes. And I remember back when a pair of Air Jordans came out, there was a special pair, and I was doing youth ministry, and man, every kid in my youth group, not every kid, most of the girls didn't really desire, but a lot of the guys really desired these shoes. And so one guy desired it so much that the money that he was given, I don't know why his mom gave him cash or whatever, but he was given some money for youth camp. Now, this is back in the olden days where, you know, now it's more on the internet, but this is back where they actually had them all in stock. Now it's hard to find them in stock in the store. So somehow, some way, I don't know, maybe he told his mom that we only took cash and you can't give a check or what, I don't know. But this kid got money for youth camp, and then he went to the store and bought him a pair of Air Jordans. Then he comes to the church and fills out a form, because we said, you know, we have some scholarships for people that can't afford to go to youth camp. So he filled out a form that he would like to get scholarship. And then when one of the people there called the mom to tell him, you know, hey, you know, we're going to help your kid go to youth camp. She's like, I've already paid for youth camp. But see, this kid desired these shoes more than he desired to hear about God in youth camp. Also, he probably figured out that somebody would pay for him to go to youth camp, and he could have both. So anyway, I don't know how the story ended out. But, you know, I'm just trying to say, when people desire something, I mean, so what we need to do, we need to desire, if it's healing, or desire our healing. Desire. Now, when you desire something, you don't forget about it. You don't forget about it. You're thinking about it constantly. I know that in my life, I have what I call faith projects working at all times. Amen. You know, I every day I claim it. Every time we pray. And the fact of what mom and dad have done, there are certain things that every time they pray, whether it's praying for the food, whether it's praying in the morning, you know, during devotional times, whether it's praying before they go to bed, that there are certain things that they pray for. So every time, you know, so I've actually kind of just said that's awesome. I mean, if I really desire it every time. Now, technically, I want to rephrase it. I say we're praying for it. We prayed for it one time. After that, we're claiming it. We say, thank you, Father. One of them is for 1,000 Rhema students. We say, thank you, Father, for 1,000 Rhema students. All right? That's one of the things that we've already prayed for it. Now we're just thanking God for it. And that's something you can do. You know, that's our desire. Actually, technically my desire is 2,200 Rhema students, but you know, I'll go with the 1,000 because we got to start somewhere. Why 2,200? Because I was told a number of years ago is 2,200 students is what we can house on them, you know, here at the ministry without building more buildings. So, you know, I want to see Rhema completely full. I want to see this building completely full. Now, why would it be full? Because I'm awesome and Dad's awesome and all the pastors are awesome? No, it's because God's awesome. You know, and it's really not that hard. We can fill this up next week. Well, how do you do that? If everyone brought one person, we would have to do the Rhema scooch to get everybody in here. One person. I mean, it's just that simple. But therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, you're going to have them when you pray. Now, does anyone remember, I don't know if maybe the 90s or whatever, there's a Toyota commercial that says, oh, what a feeling, had this guy jumping up and down every time they got a Toyota or whatever. Well, see, you should be jumping up and down when you pray. Because if you really received it, then you should get excited. You don't need to get excited when the new car comes your way. That's what they always say in Price is Right. You know, a new car. Anyway, that's why I always say new car that way. I just can't say a new car like normally. I have to say a new car. Because I grew up watching Price is Right. My grandmother Tipton, my mom's mom, loved Price is Right. you know, she just loved that show. And so I would see that show, you know, meeting. It's still on, by the way, for some of you that don't go to work, you know. Or you watch it later. You can DVR it, I guess, if you really want to watch it later. I know, but that's one thing that I always would do. If for some reason that I missed school, then I'd watch The Price is Right. And I mean, I'd be good at the show now. I do most of the grocery shopping at home, and I could pick out all the prices. I'm just really, really good. Unfortunately, that Walmart's price is a little cheaper than the average retail price in California. So, but that's okay. Anyway, you don't have to wait until it shows up to shout about it. We shout about it when we pray because we believe that we've received our thing. All right, I want to go and look at an example of how people receive healing. And I'm going to go over in Acts chapter 14, because I believe that this is how most people end up receiving their healing. Acts 14:8. Once again, I'm going to go ahead and read from the New Living Translation. And this is talking about Paul and Barnabas, and they were ministering in Lystra. And we'll read this, and then we'll go back and examine it, you know, in detail, verses 8 through 10. While they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth, so he had never walked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached. Looking straight at him, Paul realized that he had faith to be healed. So Paul called to him in a loud voice, "Stand up," and the man jumped to his feet and started walking. So, hang on. Sorry. So, the first thing we have to understand is Paul and Barnabas were in Lystra. Obviously, that's what the Bible says. All right, so there was a man who was there that had never walked a day in his life, that from birth has been crippled. Now, it doesn't tell us how old this man is. Now, you know, so I don't know, but it sounded like that he was, you know, an adult. So one day when I was preaching on this sermon, I just picked a number, and I picked 28. All right? I don't know if he's 28. I don't know if he wasn't 28. So this morning I was going to change it to 25, and I kept hearing 28, so we're keeping 28. All right? Is it true or not? I don't know. But let's just pick 28. 28's a good number. 28's not too young and not too old. I mean, you know, it's a good number. So let's just say here's a man for 28 years who had never walked. Never walked. Now, has anyone ever had a baby or ever seen a baby? If everyone doesn't raise their hand, we're gonna have an early prayer line for, you know, for liars. I'm sure everyone here has seen a baby. Now, the way a baby operates is they go through stages in life. You know, and as a baby gets a little older, they start to crawl. Then eventually they begin to pull up on the coffee table and start to stand a little bit. And eventually you see them start to walk. Anyone seen those kind of things in a child? All right, you know, like 30% of you guys have seen. Did you guys go to school? Or especially you adults, you didn't have kids, or your brother or sister didn't have kids, or, you know, all this stuff. Anyway, but that's kind of the way it works. I mean, people learn to walk, all right? But this man had never walked. And do you realize babies just don't pop up from coming out of the womb to start walking? Doesn't happen. You know, because their muscles, their ankles, and all these kind of things have to learn how to balance and things like that. Now, this man had never walked, and we're going to say 28 years, so think about that, 28 years. Now, the reason I'm kind of going on in detail is because if this man can walk after never being able to stand up in 28 years, surely you can get healed of that cold. Surely you can get healed of whatever you're going through. Because this is a miraculous thing, and here's the deal. This man got healed just because he listened to the word. That's amazing. I mean, it doesn't take a lot. Doesn't take a rocket scientist. All it takes is the word of God. Anyway, so here's a man who had never walked. So I want you to picture in the mind he would never walk. And we're gonna think 20. How many in this room are 28 years old or younger? 28 years old or younger. I'm going to raise my hand because, you know, I'm just young. I'm going to identify with the 28-year-old. No. If you're 28 years old or younger, so all your life, think about having some kind of ailment all your life. You know, it's a long time. 28 years is actually double the time that you were in school from K to 12, you know, K through 12, you know, actually if you count kindergarten, you know, so that would be 26 years and put two more years on that. So, you know, it's double the time. It's a long time. Now, I don't know if it was 28 years, but it doesn't matter. The thing is this man had been in this situation a long time and had never learned to walk and never walked, couldn't walk. And one day, Paul and Barnabas came to his town with the good news. Think if more of us would come and talk to people with the good news, how we could have more people healed, more people set free. Now, I believe, first of all, that Paul and Barnabas believed that, you know what, they were going to preach the word with signs following. The Bible says to preach the word with signs following. The reason we're not seeing signs is we're not preaching the word. Primarily, faith. Now, Paul here, he did three things. First of all, Paul preached the word. All right? And obviously, you know, he must have preached faith because he perceived the man that had faith to be healed. All right? What does Romans 10:17 says? So then faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. If we want to see more things happen, we got to be preaching more faith. And that's where so many churches are missing out. If we want to see more healings, more miracles, we need more faith. It doesn't say that you're going to get faith by having heard the word. You're going to get faith by continuing to hear the word. Continuing to hear the word. Continuing to hear the word. And I'm going to give you you know, we have Rain Bible Training College here, and there's many of you that might have, you know, might go out at some point in time and start a church. I'm going to tell you how to start a church and a couple of different things. Now, I'm not going to tell you everything, first of all, but when you start a church, first Sunday, preach on vision. Without vision, the church perishes. Then after, you know, you can preach on vision for a couple of weeks. The next thing you need to do is go to the basics. Teach on faith. All right? You know, obviously, it's to start out faith for salvation, faith for healing, faith for finances, faith because you need a foundation of faith. And what's happening too, a lot of churches now have gone beyond and they're not coming back to the basics. I know actually on our podcast, actually the last episode that we just released, it was Pastor David Kramer. And I said, he one that did our commencement speaker here, Rain Bible Training College. And I said, so David, tell me, what are you ministering on right now in your church? He says, Craig, we have gone back to the basics because we want to see an explosion. We want to see healings. We want to see miracles. And if we want to see more healings and more miracles and more things, we got to preach on more faith. Faith. You know, and I believe that we should preach on faith, on healing, and on following the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. Some basic stuff. And you know, when I begin to think about this, majority time that my grandfather, that's all he preached on. Now, there were some times where we might have a winter Bible seminar / homecoming or camp meeting where he knew he already had a lot of mature believers, you know, and so maybe he touched on some other subjects. But if we as a church are continuing to win the lost, we got to continue to preach the basics of faith. You know, and thank God that Paul preached faith. Because first of all, number one, he preached the word. He preached the word. My grandfather says the number one reason why people do not get healed or people not get their knees bent is they don't know what the word says. Here's the thing, folks. It's not about your opinion. You know, if you look at my notes, if you look at my notes from the day, you're going to see a bunch of scriptures. That's why I can stand around and walk around because all I have is scriptures. Because, you know, we got to base everything on the word, not on my opinion. It's not about my opinion. You know, I didn't learn my opinion. My grandfather always taught me, what does the word say? What does the word say? What does the word say? Well, the word says that by his stripes you were healed. Not going to be healed, it says you were already healed. And all you have to do is believe. So Paul preached the word. Secondly, is he perceived that this man had faith to be healed. Do you understand? So evidently, while Paul was preaching, at some point in time, the light bulb came on that even though I have been sitting here, never walked for 28 years, I can be healed. And see, if you're in this room today, I don't care how long, I don't care if you just hadn't been feeling good for a day, I don't care if you've been diagnosed with terminal cancer or whatever it might be. You need to know that the healer is in the house this morning. You need to know that you can be healed by your faith. But your faith needs to be in God. Have faith in God. Your faith needs to be in God. And so this man, Paul, perceived that this man had faith to be healed. But then Paul had to do something else. Thirdly, he told the man to rise and to walk. Now, it takes faith to tell a guy who had never, never taken a step in his life to get up. That took Paul having faith. All right, but you know what? It wasn't just all about Paul. See, some people think it's all about the minister. No, it's about the minister and the people receiving the healing or financial situation or whatever it might be. Now, here's the thing. Also, you don't need a minister to get healed. Do you realize my grandfather walked off the deathbed reading the word, Mark 11, 23 and 24. But here's the thing. He just didn't read the word. He put it into practice. So many of us, we can quote the word, but are we putting the word to practice? Are we being a doer of the word? And if any of you ever heard me preach, pray before I preach, that's one of the biggest things I urge people to be a doer of God's word. Do what the word of God says. First of all, you have to know what the Word of God says. Secondly, you have to do what the Word of God says. And so here's this man. He was there, and number one, he listened to Paul preach. Now, whatever Paul said had to contain, about your faith, or he wouldn't have received faith, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right? So the reason that we have a lot of churches that are not, having a lot of manifestations is because nobody is preaching the word. Some people, I just want to come and have a Holy Ghost meeting. Well, you know what? You might have a Holy Ghost meeting a couple of times, but eventually if the word of God's not preached, you're not going to have that. The only people that are going to enter in are people that already know the word. But if you're getting people saved, if we brought 500 unsaved people here tomorrow, which would be awesome, or 500, baby Christians tomorrow, they don't know the word. They don't know, Holy Ghost means not going to do them any good, except for when people see people running around shouting and laughing, they're going to figure out, what is that? Now, some people might want to portray it. Some people might get scared about it. But you know what? We got to preach the word. And then we got to preach the word. And then we got to preach the word. And sometimes preaching the word doesn't have to be from a pulpit. Sometimes preaching the word is just simply encouraging people wherever you are. You see people that are sick, talk about, Jesus Christ is a healer and he wants to heal you. It's his desire that you be well. See, at some point in time, this man had to learn, hey, not only is his desire to be well, you can stand up. So number one, he heard Paul preach. Number two, while Paul preached, he received faith because, Paul perceived the man of God. So he had faith. So he got faith. Number one, he heard. Number two, he had faith. The more we hear, the more faith we'll get. And it's so important. It's so important. It's so important that we preach faith. That we preach faith. Because we need more people to get a hold of the faith message. I mean, if we're not preaching faith, I don't know who could be. We put it on top of our building. We put it on every kind of product you can buy in the bookstore. We put it on our Bibles, the shield of faith. And we have a mandate that Brother Hagin got in 1950 from the Lord. Go teach my people faith. And unfortunately, there are a lot of our Rhema people that have gone beyond that. You know, get out of the Buzz Lightyear Christian mentality to infinity and beyond. And get back to the basics. You know, and that's why some of your services are flaked out. And I'm not talking about the ones here. I'm talking about online, you guys. No, I'm just kidding. No, there'll be a lot of pastors I know that will watch this later on. And so maybe, you know, the Lord will get them to get back to the basics. We should all get back to the basics. And we as a church that has already known some basics, we should be thrilled because you know what? We all love Brother Hagin. And every time he preached on the same thing. Having faith. Having faith. Having faith. Having faith. And you know what? It's not just having faith, but signs falling because this man got faith. But he had to do the third thing. And the third thing brought him his healing. He had to get up. He had to stand up. Because when Paul perceived he had faith, and Paul says, get up. Now, do you realize that this man had never walked? Do you realize this man can't stand up? Even if he, you know, understand, we take it for granted, people standing up and then people walking. I tell you what, I broke my ankle. No, no, broke it. I shattered my ankle. And you take for granted walking. Man, I tell you what, it wasn't fun to be on those crutches. And especially this, I was on crutches during the winter time. Do you around here in the winter time, we have ice sometimes? And you think it's bad to slip on the ice? Whenever your feet, twice I slipped on the ice on my crutches. All right. So maybe I'm just a bad crutch person. I don't know, but you know, but the thing is that this man had never walked and we're saying 28 years, never walked. And if it happens to be less or more than 20 years, it's okay. It still preaches good. Okay. It still preaches good. Never walked. And to have faith to get up, but praise God he did. He got up. And when he got up, all of a sudden his feet and ankle bones, you know, were strengthened. And then all of a sudden he just magically, I shouldn't use the word magically. He immediately, because people think magically, they think weird things. He immediately was able to balance himself and walk, which is another miracle in itself. I mean, because, you know, man, I wish my kids could do that whenever they first stood up. You know, because I don't know about your kids. I know Cameron, my oldest son, he banged his head on the coffee table. I don't know how many times when he's trying to do the scooting phase or whatever. And coffee tables have sharp, you know, have edges and stuff. You know, he got bruises on the forehead. I'm like, someone's going to call the people on me or whatever. My kid's getting bruises on the forehead because he's banging himself. He's trying to stand up on the coffee table, let it go, and he falls and hits his head. You know, but this man got up. And when Paul said stand up, it says, according to the New Living Translation, the man jumped up to his feet and started walking. Well, I'm telling you what, if a man can jump up to their feet and start walking, how easy is it for you to get your healing? Whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. I want to read one more scripture before we minister God's healing power to you. Matthew 9:27. I'm going to go ahead and just read from the New King James Version. And I'm going to go ahead and start. 9:27. It says this. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men following him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they say to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them and saying, "See that no one knows it." I don't know what Jesus said that, but doesn't really matter. The point is, there were two blind men, and Jesus was walking into a house. And they were following him, and when Jesus went into the house, they followed him in the house. You don't think that desire to have healing? I mean, how many of you just walk into people's houses? No big deal. But you know, they did have an excuse. "We didn't see the door." Anyway, you'll get that later on, some of you. So when they got there, Jesus said to him, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" Now both of them answered and said, "Yes, Lord." So then he touched their eyes and he said these words. He didn't say, "Be healed." He said, "According to your faith, let it be to you." So that means if they didn't have faith, they didn't get healed. You know, it could have happened where one guy got his healing, the other guy didn't get their healing because only one guy had faith. It could have happened where both of them didn't get their healing because they didn't have faith. According to your faith, let it be done unto you. What do you believe? Do you believe that you will be healed, or do you believe if you don't believe? That's why I always say, to believe or not to believe, that's the question. Do you believe or do you not believe? Because that's what Jesus answered. And he asked the question. But when he says, according to your faith, let it be to you, it says, and their eyes were open. Why were their eyes open? Because they believed. Because they had faith. Just like this man, you know, back at Lystra, he had faith. And you will get healed today because you have faith, because you believe. Amen? Let's all stand up. If you're in this place today and you need healing in your body, I want to urge you to come down here and the ushers are going to line you up. I'm going to lay my hands upon your head, and the power of God will flow into the top of your head, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Now, at that point in time, it's up to your faith. Do you believe or do you not believe? All right? So here's what I want you to do. Whenever you get lined up down here, I'm going to ask you to do a couple things. Once they have you in line, all right, I want to ask you just to not think about me, not think about anybody in this room. I want you to think about Jesus. And one of the best ways to think about Jesus is to close your eyes and lift your hands. Now, here's what I want you to do is whenever I get to you and thank you, Father. And I put my hands upon your head, I'm going to say something. Probably something like in the name of Jesus, because it's not about me, it's about Jesus. I'm not the healer, he is. And when I do, I want you to say, I take it by faith. I take it by faith. I take it by faith. And while you guys are lining up down here, I want you that are watching online, I want you to look at me right now. I want you to look at their TV screen, and I want you to reach out, well, what might be a TV or your iPad or whatever it might be. I want you to reach your hand toward the screen, and I'm going to reach out towards you. Father God, right now, we thank you for those that are watching online. And we thank you, Father, that the healing power of God is flowing into their bodies from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you're healing that elbow right now. You're healing that elbow from that man right now. That hip is being made well right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Back, be well. In the name of Jesus, right now, we just thank you. We thank you in advance for testimonies we shall hear and that we shall see. Amen. If you're watching this online, or even if you're here, if you'll go to testimony@rhema.org, that's Rhema's R-H-E-M-A, testimony@rhema.org, and send us your testimony. Tell us about your healing, because, you know, it's always awesome to hear the testimonies. I was actually on someone else's podcast the other day, and I prayed for a woman's shoulder, and I've got 3 or 4 testimonies how God immediately touched her shoulder. I expect to see those same testimonies from you online and from you right here. Amen. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the healing power of God. 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 We're going to start here, Brother Anthony. Hallelujah. Right, and we're going to go this way. Hallelujah. We're going to start right here. We're going that way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father God, we thank you right now for the healing power of God flowing into each and every one of these, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. 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 Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to stretch forth your hands toward these cloths. We have a strong healing anointing here, and these cloths are going to go wherever. And they're going to be laid upon the sick. And that same healing anointing that's been prayed for or been manifesting in so many people here are going to go in these cloths, and when they're laid upon the sick, they shall be healed. Amen. Father God, right now we command cancer to be gone in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Diabetes, in the name of Jesus, you have to leave now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Heart, be well now. In the name of Jesus. Leukemia, you have to go in the name of Jesus. We command healing in your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Stomach issues, you have to leave now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Back and hips, and also mental situations, Father God, in the name of Jesus, they have to go. They have to go. They have to go. Cancer, be gone now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dementia. Dementia. You can't be in the body anymore. Hallelujah. COVID, you must die in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God, the healing power of God flowing into each and every one of these cloths. And we thank you as they're laid upon the sick. We thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There's a strong healing anointing in this place. Amen. You that came forward, I tell you what, if you have a testimony, you can go to the north lobby, fill out a form there, or you can go to testimony@rhema.org and send us your testimony. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. Praise God. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Father, for the many lives, both here and watch us online, the healing power of God that is working in these bodies to affect the healing and the cure. And Father God, we thank you that they will keep the switch of faith turned on, that as that power of God continues to work, that some will be healed instantly and some will be healed gradually as they go. But we thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. But Father God, we thank you today that as we're here in this service, as many people have been healed, we thank you, Father. If anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, we thank you, Father, for giving them an opportunity to accept Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. If you're in this room today and you say, Craig, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're here and you say, I don't know whether I've ever done that. Well, my grandfather always called a know-so experience. If you don't know, you can know tonight or this morning. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I know what it is to be saved, but I've kind of turned my back and I went away. But this morning, I want to come back and I want to rededicate myself to God. If any of you are here under any of those three things that I called out, I would like you to lift your hand because I want to pray with you across this auditorium. If you need to be saved, you've never been saved, don't know whether you've ever been saved or not, or maybe that you are want to rededicate your life to God. I see one hand back there. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else that says, Craig, I want to be saved. Craig, I want to change my life. Or maybe you're here and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4 said they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, today's Pentecost Sunday. What better day to be filled with the Holy Spirit? So if that's you, anyone want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, never have the evidence of speaking in tongues. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. Actually, let's all stand up. I know at least one person lifted their hand. There might be more. But if you lifted your hand for prayer or should have lifted your hand for prayer, I want you to come down here and we want to minister to you right now. You know, some of you, maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you know you need to come down here. Actually, maybe you ask the person next to you, hey, do you need to come down? I'll go down, come down with you. It's okay. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Someone else want to come down? Want to join these two? This is what it's all about, folks. Getting people saved. Changing people's lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Amen. Well, whatever you came down here for, whether it be, you know, being saved or whether it be infilling the Holy Spirit, those are gifts of that belong to you. They're gifts from God. When I think about gifts, I think about Christmas. You guys like Christmas? Christmas is a wonderful time. Anyone out there like Christmas? I love Christmas. I mean, you know, it's the day we celebrate Jesus, you know, Jesus' birth. Amen. But one thing about Christmas is we give presents. Anybody ever got a Christmas present? I like Christmas. You got Christmas presents? Now, I know my mom, what she would do is that she would always put the presents on the tree early, and it would always say, to Craig, from Mom and Dad. And I would sit there and look at that present. But Christmas Day would happen. I got to open that present. Well, that present's been under the tree for a long time. What's your name? Gary. All right. It says, to Gary, from God. What's your name?
Tamara.
To Tamara, from God. The present's been there a long time. And it's your Christmas morning, your time to open it up. All right. Amen. I want you to lift either hand toward heaven. I don't care which one. I'm going to pray with you. All right. Father God, we thank you, Gary and Cameron. Tamara, we thank you, Father, right now for ministering to them, for saving them, for setting them free, Father. We thank you for forgiving them from their sins. We thank you their lives will never, ever, ever be the same. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, it's one thing to get a present, another thing to have direction. Amen. So I'm going to ask you if you'll follow Brother Greg right here. Just turn this way and follow him. And he's going to pray with you. He's going to give you some material. And he's going to make sure you get the gift that you came for. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Once again, you know, it's really important to hear testimonies. And so testimony at rhema.org. And in fact, if you have any testimony how this ministry has blessed you, that's the easiest way to give it to us, you know, because that's how we get things for the Word of Faith. Amen. Well, I tell you what, the healing power of God is strong here. You know, I know we're going to hear many testimonies and things, but stay in faith. If you know, some of you might know you got healed instantly, that's great. If you didn't get healed instantly, stay in faith. The healing power of God is working in your body to effect a healing and a cure. Amen. Well, praise God. Sorry we ran a little bit long, but that's okay. You know, when people are getting blessed, it doesn't matter if we run an extra 15 minutes. You know, your stomach can wait 15 more minutes before they go to lunch, okay? Sometimes we try to rush things or whatever. But it's important, first of all, you know, if we want to see signs falling, we got to preach the Word. Amen. So it's important, first of all, to preach the Word and then, you know, minister to people. That's what we do. Amen. We're bringing hope, help, and healing to the world or even our world. Amen. I want you guys to go out, and I want you to be a blessing to people this week. Amen. Well, you know what we do around here? We're kind of a little short-staffed. Oh, yeah. If you're a first-time visitor, first of all, we're glad to have you. The Connection team is in the aisle. They're going to take you. We have a gift for you that we want to give you. We're kind of missing the e-store today because we're a little short-staffed, but they're going to sing something as we go to the doors, and we want to greet you, and we want to just say hi as you leave, all right? Don't forget tonight, 6 p.m., right here, my brother Bill Ray. Have a great night and have a great week. God bless you guys.